Greetings, my beloved family. Here we are. This is Patricia Corey. I am presenting you with Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box. And if ever there were a time to do that, it is certainly now. We have passed the big apocalyptic date, one more after the Y2K scare. We've had this even bigger preoccupation, prophecy, Armageddon, all this garbage. And I have been looking forward to this as we all have. We've had so much information. We're just drunk on it. I mean, for God's sakes, how much more do we have to hear about 2112? I'm so delighted it's over and past us. And I wanted this show to be about the day after. Not like the movie, but the day after December 21st. Ah, breathe deep. It is really good to already feel this shift. And I'm going to be talking about that today with you. I promised I would do a show without a guest because many of you have asked that. And I find it really hard to do that because it's talking into a computer without any feedback. It's just not my style. But I will be talking to you for a while, and then I'm bringing in a very, very beautiful soul that I thought was the perfect person to share this transmission with me. Her name is Jamel Gamel. She's got her own show called The Alchemy of Light on BBS. I've been on her show a couple of times. I really find in her an ultimate star sister and just a beautiful person who is able to do what I like, which is look at the negative, look at the positive, bring the negative into the positive, and do that with great elegance and fearlessness. So she'll be on in a little while, but for now, I would like to talk to you about a number of very exciting aspects of what has happened in this, for me personally, in this transition. So for starters, congratulations to everyone. Touch your head, touch your nose, touch your feet. You'll see you're still here. Here is going to be taking on a whole new person as we move forward in this time, because we're all very eager to see, to feel, to find if we are moving or not into this new dimension. And I'd like to talk to that today, because certainly it is very much what the Syrian Council has addressed for so many years, and that is the time of the 21st, signaling time of immense, let me think of the perfect word to describe catapulting, forward moving, thrusting into this new time. And of course, I think you'll all happen soon. We are so tired of the old and so ready for the new. But I do often about, before we abandon completely the idea of the third dimension and moving into another, the fourth, I want to or fifth or sixth or wherever. I do want to always remind people that we came here to be in this dimension. We surely came here also to experience the transition. But let us not just say, oh, these are old shoes, I'm done, let's move on, without acknowledging the splendor of this earth and whatever the difficulties are that we're presented with. We came here for some reason, as I've said before in a joking time, was I drunk at the time? But nonetheless, we came here to cope with, deal with, learn from the intensity of this planet. And wherever and whatever occurs next, let us not forget that whatever's playing out right now is part of our process we came here to deal with. I don't want to escape it. I want to change it. And I like to, when I hear people or people write to me and say, I'm so done with the third dimension, it's like, you can't escape it. We're going to change it. And I would like that this day, the 22 of December, become not a fantasy of moving away from it or being transported to another place where everything is blissful and all the suffering and negativism of our time here is over and we're in fairyland. You know that me well enough to know that that doesn't jive with me. I'm a grounded. Realist as much as I am a viewer of beauty unfolding. So I like to walk in that groundedness, and I like to help people stay in that groundedness as well while aspiring to the new, the beauty that we all dream about, the harmony that we're all waiting for. We're going to create it. We have to create it. Nobody's going to make it happen for us. This was the message that came out 2 days ago from the Syrian High Council, which I shared with everyone. And it was very powerful for me personally. They guided me through something immense. As some of you know, if you followed what was going on the at 4 a.m., the violet hour on the 21st, I was guided through a process where I was fasting for 3 days, and I was working with the council to help do some amazing energy work. So many of you have shared that you also got this remarkable download from that time. I'm thrilled to have facilitated that. But reminder, the council still say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to read this whole transmission from them so that anyone who's listening who didn't get to hear it can hear it now through me. Please bear with me. I don't usually like to read to people, but here goes. Message from the Syrian High Council, December 18th and 19th, 2012. Children of Gaia, please receive this message of love and the divine embrace of your extended family of light in this glorious hour of celestial celebration. We are the speakers of the Syrian High Council. We wish to speak to you today in reference to the power of observation of any given event, the quantum effect, and your involvement in the texture and quality of its manifestation into multidimensional constructs that reflect your world, your lives, and your quote-unquote future. But first, let us respond to your calls for help and assistance from our realms in the unfolding theater of Earth's tumultuous transference into its new measure as Gaia carries you all into the next cycle. We hear your implorations, searching the outer realms of your imagination, the multiverse, to know if we are listening to what goes on about you. You are waiting patiently at times, anxiously at others, to hear an answer. Your antiquated sciences, now usurped by enlightened new visionaries, have taught that sound cannot traverse the vacuum of space. And so may you wonder, can Syrian light beings hear the turmoil that rises from Earth's surface plane? Explosive and raging. Ever vigilant guardians of Gaia, are they watching as our world rattles and shakes its way into the new? Can they hear us calling out to our brothers and sisters beyond? Are they still there, overseeing the worrisome events tearing at the fiber of human spirit, the very earth herself? Know that no vacuum or void exists that love's song cannot traverse. And trust that there is no limitation in the universe of infinite light and sacred darkness, other than your own perceptive capacity and, for some, an unwillingness to look beyond what is served up as food for your collective. Your reaching out breaks through all barriers, touching our hearts as the symphony of your souls play to ours. The cacophony of the industrialized, militarized earth penetrates the matrix of physical space. The music of Gaia's song and of your own sweet refrains reaches us. We are here so much closer than you can imagine, just a breath away from you. But such conceptual distances still elude you. They are not related to spatial definitions as you know them. Yes, we are still here. We resonate to this vibratory signature. Be still and feel our light surround you as we hold the goddess Gaia in our embrace, reassuring, nurturing, loving the mother as she has in turn loved her young, and so doing, we love you beyond measure. We wish to reassure you that we of the Syrian High Council and others with whom we are aligned and harmoniously in service are particularly focused on earth affairs at this hour. The realms of conscious beings observing your sun's acceleration and the evolutionary pace of all cosmic deities in transition in your solar logos are all taking part in Ra's extraordinary process.
Okay, here we are. We're back again. We had some very bizarre technical thing going on. And of course, that's not new to me. And it's not new to you if you've been following my show, because every time I talk about anything strange, which is most of the time, things happen. I was reading you a message from the Syrian High Council, and I'm not going to read you the whole message, but I wanted to get to the point where I was when the phone went out. So what I want to talk about today, and now I'm going to be bringing in my guest, Jamil, is something that's been occurring in the last few days, the time of shifting, people being uncertain, all of this fear. Oh my God. As I've said before, dig this now. We have 7.3 estimated billion people on this planet. At least half of these people had fear or some sort of an opinion about 21 December. And if the opinion was about fear, which is what so many people were in, it's gone. It's over. It's past. People talk about surviving to 21 December. I find it a little bit humorous myself, but whatever. Let's say that, be generous and say that only half of the population of the world was worried about December 21st. And that's over. That energy, that mass of negativity is over. That is very exciting, and a lot of us are feeling that shift already. Just think about that. That incredible quantity of fear of, how to even describe it? More than fear, fatalism, a sense of the world. People saying to me, I can't believe it. The world hasn't ended. I'm almost disappointed something didn't happen. It's like, okay, what do you want to have happen? Create it. Let's start. We've got a clean slate here with regard to the quantity of fear that's being held in the collective consciousness of the human race. And what I have been confronted with a lot is people saying, I really wish you wouldn't talk about that. I'm tired of the negativity of people talking about things. Let's talk about love. And the message from the council and mine too is, the more you fear talking about something, the more you glue it to you. Ignoring or fearing discussing something does not, in my opinion, of course, mean that you are free of it. If anything, bringing it out into the open, bring everything out, bring it on, whatever it is that frightens and upsets. Put it in front of me. I want to look at it. I want to be free to talk about it. I want to walk through it, go through it, and move on from it. So let me take this occasion also to say, if any of you are not comfortable with that, you need to unfriend me on Facebook or wherever you come into contact with my input, because I will continue to speak about everything that I feel is vital to us as human beings on this planet, and always with the intention of how we can make it better. But I'm not afraid. I'm not glued to the obsession of not talking about it, because I'll give it energy. And exactly what the council said was, the more you fear talking about or considering an aspect of your reality, the more you glue it to you like iron to the magnet. So here we are. It's a new day. We've got 3 billion people's worth of fear dissipated. All the Planet X people are now saying, oops, it must have gone off. At the last minute, it's gone off track. Planet X has gone off track. The council has always told us that Nibiru is not in your solar system. That's what the problem is all about. So enough about that. I wanted to just make a big statement, which is part of what I do, and titillate you to think about that and bring on a person to share that with me. And that is my guest today, Jamil. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, because it's a strange, beautiful, romantic name, Jamil. She is the host of The Alchemy of Light, which is on every other Saturday from me on BBS Radio. Hi, Jamil.
Hello, Patricia. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you for coming on. Sorry about that little blip in the technical part of getting you on the air.
Oh, quite all right. I understand these technical blips as well. So it's part of the internet reality.
True. So, Jamil, thank you. I asked you to come on relatively at the last minute, and I'm really grateful that you stepped in, because I was thinking about what I would be sharing with people today. And I just remember some of our conversations. You have such an uplifting spirit. You're a starseed, seriously a starseed. And I couldn't tell you a better person to have on today. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you so much for welcoming me. I'm glad that worked out. And it's really awesome to share this energy, this new beginning, because a big part of the new energy is unity. That is the new energy, unity, coming together, sharing. And I loved what you were just saying, you know, pushing through our fears of talking about stuff. You know, it doesn't go away if we don't look at it. It doesn't do the job, you know. The unity consciousness is coming together to help each other look at this. What are we doing here? How are we going to co-create? And so I'm really grateful to be, you know, welcoming the first day of our new world, whatever, you know, in unity and talking and bringing this to light. And thank you.
I think that, you know, we've got a possibility now to move out of conspiracy theory, information sharing about the underpinnings of the secret government and the reptilians, all that stuff, which we've done to the hilt, and now transform into, okay, there are no secrets, no more lies. So they're unabashedly promoting their agenda. They love to show us their agenda. And so that's history now. We are no longer in the conspiracy theory part. I think days ago I wrote, I'm a conspiracy realist anyway, not theorist. Now, I would say that we're moving into fantasy island where there are only angels floating about and we have nothing left to deal with but joy. But that isn't the reality that I understand. What I understand is that exists, but we are going to transmute it now out of the secrets and lies of the past, fully conscious and aware of what's going on, and determined, conscious citizens of how we are going to transmute that into love.
Absolutely. And I think one place that we have so many options of to begin, but one place we might begin is what we call love. You know, we have this idea that either love is sex or love is these fairies of this, you know, oh, you just lay there and take it kind of thing. Any dimensional reality you want to put that, it's a, in our interpretation, I think in the duality reality, it's a passive. Love is the thing that takes the shit, right? It doesn't really take a stand for itself. It doesn't have a place in the whole game. But love, in my experience, love is the absolute opposite. Love is actually being in your integrity. And when you are actually in your integrity, when you are in love, you don't compromise things that just don't feel right. That's the most simple way I can say it. When things don't feel right and you are in love, when you are in your integrity, you simply reject them and you seek to find solutions that work for the whole. Because in integrity, you understand that your part in the whole matters. You know, what I'm going to say now is going to affect somebody, and I am in my integrity concerned about that as well. It's not all about me, and you're the bad guy, and I'm the good guy, and I know it, and I'm the right thing. You know, that's this conspiracy thing and all that stuff. It's like, we all can't be right unless we're all right. So if you're right and I'm right, then we must have a place where we can both be right. And in love, in our integrity, we understand that because the universe is a really big place. And of course we're all right. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, the whole need to be right is irrelevant now. What's important is to be unified and that understand that in this bizarre moment of transition, I mean, talk about the veils bleeding through. There is so much going on. It is incredible. From a phenomenon point of view, if people are paying attention, this planet is going through complete it's morphing.
Mm.
And there are phenomena that we'll probably get a chance to talk about while we're on the air that are manifesting. I've seen fireballs. I've seen some amazing images of films of fireballs shooting through the sky. Very valid things. I've got my own personal experience, which I rarely talk about. On the 21st at this house was nothing short of a Steven Spielberg movie. Once again, I had this huge, dense fog over the house. This has happened before. And a light show above the fog. This fog was very bizarre, very unusual. It had a quality to it that was very surreal. And light above the fog that appeared to me to be some sort of craft. And that's not the first time that it's happened. Huh. I think that we are at a time where in this transitional phase right now where nothing can be considered impossible, and however, neither do we want to become so obsessed with the phenomenon that we lose our track of what matters right now. There was one part of this message that came from the council that I'd like to just quote. They said, "We have invited you over and over again to look at all aspects of the world that surrounds you and to do so without fear, but rather with a curious instinct. Intent upon observing how things really work, how they appear to be, and how your own thoughts about them determine your state of existence." So we're faced with some pretty intense activity on the planet, and we have bought into, and I admit also to being someone who openly discusses a lot of the things at play that are issues that have to do with the secret government. But the time for discussing it over and over again is past, and now we're moving into some very swift on to resolution. Do you agree, or am I just rambling?
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And for those of us who can see it, that I feel like now's the time where we really do need to start moving. You know, like our economy and these things, you know, that those of us who can really see the opportunity need to just go forward without reservation and without needing the approval or, you know, people to come around and say, oh, that's the right thing, because it is the right thing. There's a part of it that is very objective. I'm loving this word. Because the movement is sure. We are now moving into the unity reality, the unity consciousness, where we are going to now reset our entire global reality to, from there you must put your own words, my words. From here, we move into a place where we are, in essence, in harmony with ourselves and with our environment, with the cosmos itself. And everything that is not in order with that will be changed. It will be changed. So we can work with that energy or not with that energy. But those of us who really know that that's what we're here for, now's the time to move out, because I couldn't agree more. It really is that blatant. You know, one of the hot spots for me is looking at the economy. Now they're promising this cliff, and they're certain to do it, and they must do it. It's our gift that the debtor economy go over, because it's not a functional unity consciousness based paradigm that will support our growth at this time. So rather than sitting and being entertained by the theater of the big bank scandals, which are becoming, you know, ever so colorful, now's the time to actually roll up our sleeves and move on. Okay, look, guys, we can create a share economy. We can learn to share the resources of this planet. We can do that by working together and move away from waiting for them, this duality, I call them the lords of duality, to tell us what and how we're going to do it, because they don't know. And there doesn't even have to be blame or judgment or hatred or anything like that. They just simply aren't built for this new paradigm. Those of us who can see it, those of us who are feeling the energy, those of us who recognize the options here must move out now, because it's time.
Well, when you say we must move out now, what do you mean?
I mean that it's time for us to, combined with what you're saying, you know, it's time for us to honor those things that we're knowing we need to address. You know, you were saying in the beginning that you were pointing out, if you don't say something, it doesn't go away. Well, all of us have something hanging in the ether, you know, something that we need to address. And it's from the very microcosmic level to the macrocosmic level. Some people are needing to address that thing, say, in a relationship or in a job. That thing that they don't want to talk about, that needs to be addressed right now. And so if your thing that you need to address is in the microcosm in your very personal reality, that's what you need to get on with. If your thing is more in a bigger picture, like mine right now is very much focusing on this economy and the things that I'm seeing coming together, that's what I'm feeling passionate to call out. Whatever the thing is that you don't want to talk about, or the thing is that you've been avoiding talking about, or the thing that has been hanging heavy in your heart, something that you know you must address, that's what I mean. Whatever that is for whoever it is. And, you know, everybody doing their part is all we need to do. We don't need everybody to show up and, you know, take down the White House or something like that, because the White House is going to take itself down. We don't have to do that. You see, the fight's over. We don't have to fight for
I'd like to go back to what you said. That very thing of not being willing to talk about it is something that I'm seeing come up all over the place, and to the point that people are getting belligerent. I was a fascist the other day on Facebook because I quoted a quote from the one of the books, No More Secrets, No More Lies, where the council said, understand that before you turn in your guns. Oh, boy, speaking of guns, just makes me hysterical. The council, before you turn them in, understand that that is the one thing that keeps your government in check. It was built in to do that. And don't be manipulated emotionally. Get a handle on what it means. It's not about the gun. It's about something else, right?
Yes.
Name calling from spiritual, so-called spiritual people, it didn't upset me. It aggravated me because... I'm very tired of people professing to be these spiritually awakened people and yet having all these, not only parameters of things that they're not willing to discuss, but parameters that they don't want anyone else to discuss. And folks, it is time to bring it all out into the light. We can't just sit around and talk about fairies. I mean, it's wonderful, but it's time to bring all of it into the light, because we have got to work on it and heal it. And in this shift, this is it. Like you said, this is resetting resetting the time clock, for lack of a expression. We're resetting the whole paradigm from this day forward. How are we going to deal with what's being presented to us as beings who came to this planet, I'm convinced, to work on these issues?
I absolutely agree. Anybody who is alive in body, in spirit, who has joined in this earth process has chosen to be here, you know, and that's why whatever it is that it is you need to address is really your work, and that is your contribution. You know, I think people get paralyzed and think, oh, well, it's just so big, and then they don't want to talk about anything because they think they have to solve everything or they have to know all the answers. And this is also a big part of the paradigm shift, is that, you know, falling in love with the mystery. We don't know all the answers. We never know all the answers. You know, well, it's not about finding the answers. It's about just being here now and being with the opportunity of now. You know, I feel so much gratitude for the ancestors, for those who've come before us, and, you know, those that have been celebrated and those that have not. But everybody has done their part that has helped the human species come to this point. And, you know, we can celebrate incredible joy today that, you know, if we're looking at this as the first day and, you know, we're done with the world is going to end story. If this is the first day, look at how much we've survived, how much we've endured, how much the human story has persevered in claiming its integrity, claiming its dignity, and standing up for what is right. I mean, as atrocious as these stories are that are still playing, you know, we have come to a point where we can really celebrate that we've survived it all. And that's because of everybody who's come and helped make this a brighter possibility for all of us. So now, for me anyway, the honoring of the ancestors, honoring of all the work that's gone before, is what is giving me my passion to carry it on. Because I know I chose to come here. I know I want to see this planet in harmony again with itself, with all beings, and with the cosmos. Because the oppression and the outright satanic horror that has been inflicted on all life here really upsets the entire multiverse. It is really an abomination of life, what's been going on here. And you know, who can say that it's not? Whether you agree with it or not is not the question. Like you said, we're through negotiating whether it's right or it's not. It's not about right or wrong. You know, murdering children, whether they are in, you know, Newtown, Connecticut, or whether they are in Palestine, or whether they are in Afghanistan, this is an abomination of life that needs to be addressed. And that is what we're here for, you know, well, because we know that.
I really do want to drive home that point, too, that out of the hysterics that have come out of the horrific event in America, I do remind people that that's what people do with soldiers do. That's what happens when we're in a violent society. So we've got our soldiers killing every day. That's okay. Nobody talks about that. The media doesn't talk about it. Innocent children every day are being killed somewhere else. And there's always been this, as long as it's somewhere else, we don't have to deal with it. So what's happening now is, yeah, I'm not in America, but it doesn't matter. It's the whole West Bloc is being faced with its own violence. I mean, I know this is going to upset people because the listener is going to say, well, I'm not violent, but we allow it. When you allow it, you're part of it. So part of the process of this coming home is, when are we going to stop being a warring world. And it's not about when we stop having guns. The guns aren't the problem. The guns are the tool. The problem is the consciousness of the human race. We can't even always blame the Anunnaki and the Illuminati and the satanic forces or whatever. We, the human race, by being silent, are part of it. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And, you know, it goes to that pushing on the next level of consciousness. You know, people say, oh, well, I'm not violent. I don't carry a gun. And I go to peace rallies and I'm like the stuff, you know, I'm anti-war. And that means that they aren't part of it. But do you pay taxes? You know, the taxes are the fuel for the war machine. So, and you're right. It is not all about the conscious manipulation of Anunnaki and all these satanic rituals, which are a part of that. But now is the time for each and every human being to be that, to be human being, and to make conscious, responsible decisions for themselves. And that means doing some homework. You know, if you don't like what your government's doing with your taxes, if war doesn't work for you, you need to think about what your taxes are being spent on, because the taxes are what the war machine is run on. You know, everybody who pays taxes is paying the war machine. And taxes in America are so blatantly illegal with the Federal Reserve that hijacked this country. It's just appalling. And intelligent people who take time to push on that fear and push on the discomfort and, you know, be willing to grow themselves emotionally, it's not comfortable. You know, the little fairies don't come along with, you know, trays of vodka to help you deal with this stuff. You got to deal with it, you know?
Well, I think that the exciting thing is that I feel with all the contribution that a lot of people have made, like David Icke and others, to bring forward all of that agenda, now is the time to get over that discovering the dark agenda. We get it. Now is the time to say, okay, we're going to turn it around. Because, for one, the hysteria of half, I don't know, maybe every person on the planet was worried about December 21st, and I'm underestimating. But I feel, and I've talked about this for a long time, ding, the bell rings, we get through December 21st, and the next day there's going to be an incredible shift energetically on this planet. All of it will have dissipated. Terror. Specific date. All right, I'm going to open this up for call-ins and let me hear what you have to say about that. Questions you'd like to have us answer. The toll free number 888-627-6008. Let me get that again. That's for USA and Canada. 888-627-6008. And you can simply, you don't have to have a question, you can simply come on with your comments, because this is a conversational format. All right, where were we, Jamil? I'm sorry, I had to insert that so we had time for people to call in.
I think that's great, and it would be awesome to hear from some people, because we're all in this together, so yeah.
Yeah, there are some very urgent things. I don't know about the fiscal cliff, how I feel about this. What do you, when you talk about it has to happen, we have to go over that cliff, how do you interpret what comes next as far as what at the community level? Let me interject this before I finish the question. There were scenes in Long Beach during the emergency where people were being harassed about giving out food. In fact, New York City Mayor Bloomberg forbade people giving people food because they had to show that it was up to standard and it was past health restrictions or whatever. This is the government not letting people help people. So we look toward a new time of community consciousness, but how do you see this playing out with regard to once they go over the aforementioned cliff, what comes next?
Well, it's going to be very much on the individual choices that we make, and part of the healing, and it really is part of the healing I see, is to really realize how imprisoned we've become. And so our governments becoming the absolute fascist arm denying us our unity is really, in my perception and my vision, a gift for all of humanity to realize the shackles that we've been in so that we can truly make a move forward. You know, it's maybe an analogy would be if you have a cut on your leg and you just put a Band-Aid over it, it doesn't really heal. You have to clean the wound and love the wound, and then the wound will heal properly. You know, there has been a long period of enslavement of the consciousness here on this planet. And no, we don't need to have the focus be on that, but we need to make peace with that part of us that has been enslaved. And we have to face the enslavement as a collective so that we can release it as a collective. So in the little, you know, the community, you know, what we would see as an individual, we are going to have these opportunities growing to what are we going to do about that? Okay, if I'm giving you food and there's somebody with a gun shows up and tells me I can't, how am I going to handle that? I'm personally probably going to give you food anyway. because I'm very clear about what I need to do to give you food. There are a million people, millions of people who are going to have to make very difficult, challenging decisions that push them into the discomfort and push them to realize what they can do. And my life has really taught me that when you are in a challenging situation, you learn your stuff.
Yeah,
you learn.
Jamma, we've got a call in. We've got Bo on line 3. Bo, what have you got to add to this conversation?
No, I've read a lot of your books, and I'm glad to just speak to you and everything. And I just have a question. I'm so frustrated with the human race right now. You know, I'm just wondering why is so much negativity going on and this obsession with guns. I just don't understand that at all. And, even like with the people that say they're hunters, why is it okay to go into the woods and shoot off all the God's animals? I don't understand that mentality.
No, I don't understand it either.
You can help me.
I had some answers for you, Bo. We've reached a pretty decadent, in some ways, a very decadent level of society, and a lot of frustrated human beings who are, first of all, full of drugs, full of poisons, full of toxicity at every level. And for some reason, we've just been led down this path of dishonoring the earth, each other, ourselves, the animals.
Right. Yeah, it's upsetting for me to be here at a time when people are just so disrespectful to this beautiful planet. And it's so hard to be a human being and be in this type of society, you know, and you're struggling for money when, you know, God put us here and everything was free, you know, you could eat from the earth, you could drink from water. Now everything's a struggle and people are shooting each other. It's just hard for me to deal with this stuff, you know. And I read your books all the time and I love them.
Thank you very much. It's hard for all of us, Bo. What I need to say to you is hang in there, baby, because we will change this. It's like you can't, you're here. You can choose to check out, which of course you're not going to do. You can choose to give up, or you can choose to stand up. And
I feel strong. I'm not going to give up. I mean, at times I used to, you know, say like, God, what is it? I don't like, you know, being here. I want to check out, but you know, I'm strong, and I feel like you're right. Like it's going to be a change. It's just like I just don't understand why the society. I mean, look at Syria. That's just hell on earth right there. I feel for those people, you know, and it just seems like we need to really change, you know.
Let's face it. We've got a Western world that is hell bent on destroying pretty much anything it just puts its focus on. And, you know, Syria was one of the, it was considered the Paris of the Middle East. It was a beautiful country. Mm-hmm. It was a country full of history and amazing architecture,
right.
And it's raising
right.
it to the ground like Libya for oil, right?
Yeah.
As I was saying, until we stop letting the governments use war for the solution to everything that they want and that we fund it, of course, the question is how do we stop being able to fund it without them putting us all in camps and jails? But we fund
right.
it. We sit. It's okay over there. We don't want to talk about it. It's a bummer. You know, baby's dying, whatever. Baby's dying in America. No. Right?
Yeah. Right. Well, see, that's karma, you know. You have wars. You go other places, have wars, and it comes back on you, you know. And people just need to change their consciousness, like you said. I was just hoping that the 21st, at least, we would have a change of consciousness. Maybe we're going that way, but it's just, you know, you get a little frustrated and impatient. Yeah.
I hear you. All I can say to that is, you know, let's be you and me and Jamil and anyone else who is listening and all of the many, many people who are dedicated. Let us not be part of that that darkness and do what we can.
Right.
I will continue to scream and yell until.
Yeah.
I have a thought about that. Perhaps I could offer a thought about that and the unity consciousness coming in. And a part of it is that we are moving from a material-based consciousness, meaning the idea of just being a body and just material things being the measure of meaning, truly. You know, a life being taken is a tragedy. But moving into the spiritual planes, moving into a spiritual understanding, allows us to see more of the bigger picture and examine the why in the conversation of soul, in the conversation of a collective learning, of a growth opportunity for the soul itself. And perhaps, you know, that might be another road to untangling the frustration that we all feel. You know what you're saying is right. We all feel
sure,
that.
Yeah.
I think it's important to remember that we are, there is, I don't want to say a predestiny here, but every indication is that we are going through what the council called the desert days. They described the desert days 11 years ago when they said you will pass through the desert days. And I, when they said that, I thought this was some sort of a term they were using to describe an energy, but they were describing these days of all of these countries being under attack, all war in the Middle East on every country. I mean, right? All the desert countries have been attacked. So bear in mind that according to the council, who have yet to be wrong, everything that they've said would come down has come down, have said, as you walk through the desert days, know that this is the last of it. And we are here. And that gives me great courage. Great courage. So,
I'm glad to talk to you. I mean, I listen to you and talk to you. I read your books, and as I said before, and it does give you hope. And,
I have to let you go with the person online. Thank you so much, sweetheart, for calling in.
Okay,
and
thank you. All right. Thanks a lot. All right.
Thank you, Angel. Bye-bye. We've got Bruce online for. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Fine.
I have a question. Right. Today, you kind of referenced this, but not explicitly, but you've been talking about it for a while, about how in the fourth dimension, one shadow will stand in front of you so that you can confront it and basically transmute and overcome it.
Yes.
One of the things that I've been reading a lot about and hearing on the internet, like from David Icke, from Alfred Weber, Laura Eisenhower, is this whole notion of archons.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen any of that in your writings. So I'm not sure, is that something that we should try and focus on to bring to light? Or is that just...
I don't know what an archon is. It came up in an interview recently, and I was befuddled. What is an archon, a dark entity?
Well, it's been described various ways. Icke basically calls it an interdimensional parasite. Eisenhower's referred to it as like an inorganic entity that kind of has... It's a Gnostic term, going back to the Nag Hammadi manuscripts. An equivalent in Christian terms would be a demon, or in Muslim terms, a jinn, I believe.
Okay.
J-I-N-N. So I'm just not sure what to make of that whole thing.
Well, this is a big question for about 5 minutes left, but I'll give it my best shot. I have for many years been a healer, a hands-on healer, and using psychic faculty to deal with that very issue, which is attachments and entities, etc. And I am so convinced that we all have the ability to keep that all at distance by the mere shielding of energy around us that would not allow anything to enter. So facing your own dark shadow is different than facing an entity that would love to attach to you.
Right.
Entities this exists on every level of the astral, and we don't even have to worry about getting into the process of shifting into higher dimensions to discuss entities. They're all around us. They're floating around on all the levels. Remind people, if you're in a dark room and a beam of light comes in, you see this beam of light full of little particles of dust. You never think about them, but it's the air is full of particles of everything. And so it is with the astral level. There's all kinds of little squiggly bits of thought bubbles, of thought forms that don't necessarily take on the great dark enormity of some of the ideas that we can imagine, but are still attachments. And they attach to people because they want the energy. So I don't particularly adhere to this whole story about the archons coming to get us. It's more fear. I don't like the word mongering either. I don't need any additional things to be afraid of. Like there was our universe is going to collide with another universe in 7 billion years, and we need to know that.
Right.
And have to work on it now. I still don't think so. So as far as this whole paradigm about these archons and these entities, this is really new language or pulling up old language for something that I would consider archetypal energies that are energies that are about us that we simply refuse to allow in. It's very important for people to understand how to shield themselves from energies they do that are not of the highest intention. And I would
imagine your own.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just shielding yourself, knowing there is this world of astral consciousness out there. Some of it is directed, very dark. Some of it is just floating by and, oh, I think I'll stick on her. And we are responsible for our own lives, and we are also responsible for our psychic hygiene. So I wouldn't worry about archons coming after us. And as far as facing your own shadow in the next dimension, we're already doing that. We're already entering its own shadow, and we are part of that process. So I think that the whole karmic bag that the human race is facing right now is part of our shift into the next dimension.
Oh, that actually helps a lot, Patricia.
Wonderful. I'm glad. Thank you, Bruce. I would love
Thank you.
But I'm at the end of the hour already. So thank you for calling in. All right, everybody. Well, I like to leave everything on a higher note, on the highest note. So I'd like to thank my two guests for calling in. Thanks to the wonderful Jamil for her insights, and remind you all that we are going to talk about it. We're going to talk. But hopefully we're going to move now from, did you know the discovery of, it's his, get it, we know, they're out in full force. All you have to do is watch anything from the music industry to know that the Illuminati and their gang are unabashedly letting us know their message. So now let's unabashedly let them know ours. Our light will prevail. We are out in full force. The light warriors are on this planet for a reason. We knew exactly what we were coming to do. And by crack, get on with it. Be strong. Be brilliant. Be a lighthouse for others. And let's pull the energy up together. The reset button has been pushed, as Jamil said. It's a new day. Call you to your power. I call you to your mission. That's what we came here to do. Thank you. There's a dog.
Thank you so much, Patricia. And thank you for cutting the ribbon and really putting that all out there. I think that is such a gift. And we are all in this together. Thank you very much for welcoming me.
Thank you for coming. Thanks to Joe and Bruce again. And my friends, go slow here. Draw it up. Help people this Christmas. I was out Thanksgiving giving food. I'm going to do it again. Make a difference in every moment. And with that, I salute you. My love around you. This is Patricia Corey, waiting for craft to arrive. Nanu, nanu, let's have some fun. And
yay.
Bye-bye.